morning. Welcome to the Father's House Triumphant. On behalf of Pastor Regina Johnson, we thank you for joining us. We also like to thank NSISD and Princess Cooper.
Thank you. Thank you. Your love, all rest in this moment.
Oh!
Thank you. Grateful people in the house. I saw this pastor preach this sermon, and he had this goldfish. And for the sermon, for the topic of the sermon, if for you guys that wants it or that want it or need it or whatever it may be, God told me to title this Drowning in Shallow Waters.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, and somebody would say, well, that don't make sense. And I almost bought some, you know, those little floaties that the kids wear. You know, it doesn't matter if they're in 1 foot of water, 2 foot of water. I started to preach with that, but I felt like the shirt might have been doing enough to know that. Amen. So if you can visualize, see, this represents the new David.
Come on.
Is that okay?
Yeah, that's okay.
All right.
My God. Listen, when Pastor asked me or mentioned, actually my life team, I was talking about preaching. I heard the word threshold. And God really began to start dealing with my heart about being in a place of transition. And he told me something that's so good, Brother Greg. If I go to this door, now, a threshold is that piece of metal or wood that you see in the doorway. Okay? Now, it's interesting because this door doesn't have that metal or that wood as the door that's here that says exit or that's here that says exit, right? But in a carpenter's mind or in a contractor's mind, the place that's back here, where the carpet goes to the tile, is called transition. Now, what's interesting, again, is this piece does not have the metal piece or the wood piece that's at the exit or entrance door. And I say, God, that's interesting. And I begin to share with Sharifa, I said, the reason that the metal piece or the threshold is not there in this door, it's because when I leave out of this sanctuary, I go into the hallway, but yet I'm still in what? The same building.
Right, right, right.
Mm-hmm. But if I go to the front door, there's two things that's happening at one time. I am exiting one place, but I'm entering into another place. So God begins to share with me that our church is at the threshold. But what's been happening is I'm talking about us as the members. We are okay with leaving this room into this room, but yet we're still in the same location. But we're not willing to step outside of the door. Max Dupree said something. We cannot quote. We cannot become what we want to be by remaining what we are. See, we're seeking and asking and we're knocking on the door for change. But for change, there has to be change.
Come on.
In order for me to move forward, I have to be willing to step outside of my comfort zone. I have to be willing to stand alone, and everybody in the room may not like my shirt. Matter of fact, somebody said to themselves, I would never wear that shirt if I was Brother David.
But they're not you.
But because it's my shirt for one.
Hey,
I spent my money on it for two. But for three, I decided that I'm going to step over into a new place.
Come on.
What the Lord began to share with me is that most of us deal with a phobia called achieve a phobia. And what that is, it's a subconscious act or response, meaning that I'm not even aware of it. That keeps me in a place of want. Now, see, this is the thing about that. It's not that we don't want to achieve. It's not that we don't want to step over. But we are used to being in this place. That our surroundings and everything that I've built here is comfortable.
Come on,
talk to me. Now, what we have to understand, man, if you were not here, Pastor Rima preached last week. My God, I wanted to run around this place like a madman. Because what we must understand is there is a system that is put in place to keep you and me in the same place.
Yeah.
That's what I love about this, because I said, God, you know, some people may not get with this sermon, but God said it does not matter where you are in your life, whether you're rich, poor, fat, skinny, black, white, green. We all have a place in our lives, to where it's time to cross over on the other side. So there is a system that's put in place to keep you and I from moving forward. And we must recognize that system. And that system is a way of thinking. See, we don't believe in the body of Christ that it's just that simple. All we have to do is change our thinking.
Amen.
What does the Bible say? Be transformed. Isn't that interesting? That's so interesting. To be transformed is to renew your mind. How do we renew our mind? By the word. Okay, so let's get to it. Luke 5:4-5. But something I want to show you about change. In John, and then we'll go back. But Luke 5, verses 4-5 is kind of where we're going to be spending the most of our time. I'm going to try to get through this really quick because it's Mother's Day. I know everybody's ready to go and celebrate their mothers. So we see, talking about change, let's go back to change for a second. But this was interesting when I started reading this. John 5, verses 1-15. I'm not going to read it, but I'm going to summarize it here. And here we have the man at a pool, and Jesus comes, and the man is talking about, you know, he doesn't have anyone on the water. The angel comes down and stirs the water. He doesn't have anyone that would take him and set him, you know, into the pool to where he's healed. But the one thing that I want to point out is around verses 14-15, because we're talking about change, right? So here the man is. Jesus heals him. He says, get up, take your mat, and walk. But what interests me about this passage is that Jesus comes back to the temple, and he finds the man. Okay, thank you. He finds the man in the temple. Now, this is what interests me, and I want to read it. So I am going to read it. Talking about change. John 5. Because this is the part that I want you to see. We're talking about change. When Jesus gets to the temple and he finds the man, he says these words to him. John 5, verse 14, thank you so much. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Now, I don't want to focus on the sin part, but what I'm going to focus on is this. It was interesting that Jesus said this. So I'm going to summarize. I'm going to put it in layman's terms. So basically, Jesus was saying, listen, you've been made whole. So in other words, change came and transformation came. But Jesus found the man doing what got him in that situation in the first place. So he was telling him, look, stop doing what you're doing. Because what you're doing will not only get you back in the same place, but you're going to find yourself worse off than you were before the change came. So what am I saying? So what I'm saying is when God is bringing about change, we have to be careful, change our way of thinking, so we don't end up back in the same place that we were in.
Come on.
So in other words, God, Jesus was telling him, listen, you're going to have to come out of your comfort zone. Somebody would say, well, man, it was probably hard for him. One thing that God was sharing with me when talking about change, and we're going to get to the passage, talking about to Luke, talking about change. You know, these last 6 months, a little longer than 6 months, I would say back in October, Sharif and I went through a lot of changes, and not in our necessarily in our marriage, but in our entire life. God wanted to deal with every aspect of our lives. And a lot of times when we're in transition or when change is coming about, we look for the outward manifestation. But I learned over the last 6 months that it wasn't yet an outward manifestation, but it was more of an inner manifestation that I should have been looking for. Because God wasn't concerned about the outer things. He was more concerned about what was on the inside of me. He wanted to deal with what was on the inside of me. So I noticed now that there was a great manifestation of internal change that now I see the manifestation on the outside. See, God's never concerned because I'm getting somewhere. Because we have to understand a lot of times we're looking for things. We want the stuff to match what God is saying. But God's not concerned about the stuff because he promised us the stuff from the beginning. God is more about if we can handle the stuff when he puts it into our hands. So I noticed this time that God was trying to make sure that David and Sharitha was in a mindset that this go around, I will give it all away. Because God clearly says in the word that I'll show you what's the need and I'll show you what's the need.
Come on.
I'm talking about money, yes. Okay.
Come on, come on.
So we look for an outward manifestation that's in line with what God says. You ever watch that show, something about Lotto? I can't remember the name of it. But anyway, it's a group of people that a CNN goes around and they after these people have won a lottery, you know, and they go back around, they follow up, you know, they all praise them with their, you know, when they're there and got the money. But they go back in about a year. Now, for some of you guys, well, no, let me just break it down. A year is pretty much 12 months. We all know that, right?
Right.
Okay, so in 12 months, they go back. And 99.9% of them have nothing to show for. So, see, some of our mindsets, I don't know why I'm going here, but I am, are stuck in a place that, well, if I get the money, then I'll make the change. But what I saw over these last 6 months is that I didn't need money. All I needed was faith.
Right.
See, I lost about 50% of it.
No.
About 50% of it.
No, I'm with
you. What you mean you don't need? I need some money. Listen, God knows that things cost money.
Right.
The Bible says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, said the Lord of hosts. Now, as much as I don't want to give Bree my money sometimes, I still reach in my wallet and give it to her, even if it's mine. The thing about God, there's no...
Come on.
So let me ask you a question. Why are we God told I will. Pastor, stay praying for me. I will. See, what was so interesting over these last 6 months? Listen, I'm just going to follow God. Amen. What was so interesting about these last 6 months is I kept praying. Because if you guys don't know, Shrek and I own our own business. We've been doing it for 3 years. It has been a journey. It has been a journey. But I tell you, I've learned how to do this thing that most of us hate, and that is to wait.
Right. Yeah. Come on.
Right.
Come on.
Now, what I've learned in waiting is that the 6 months of transitioning could turn into a year, could turn into 2 years, could turn into 3 years. But because we decided to take a stance in faith, we watched the hand of, I'm talking October of 2016, and now we are in where? So I'm not talking about something that happened 5-6 years ago. I'm telling you what happened just recently. Every single day, we had to believe God to show up for us.
Yeah.
See, I'm going to say this because some people get stuck in places like this. Because, I'm going to say it. Because you guys saw us with the pastor.
Hey.
I'm headed in the right place. Didn't mean that God was requiring David and Sharita to use their faith.
Man. Right. Right.
Somebody got this thing twisted and said, well, she nailed whatever pastor got a lot of money. No, she got a lot of money. Well, she had a lot of money. Her and her husband, yes, they did. Well, they beat
it. Come on now.
But I couldn't ride off Pastor Jones and Pastor Regina's big money.
There you go. Come on.
So just in case you didn't think we were going through, because she had to stay in her lane. So you're talking about trusting God and stepping out of our comfort zone and doing things that we've never had to do before. I know that it's hard to go, and maybe this is not your place, but it's hard to go to the grocery store with $20
and
you have 5 miles that you
Come on.
In case you missed it, I ain't a skinny man.
Come on now.
So I don't miss meals. Praise God. I want to tell you this part. Check this out. The day comes, we have like $25. Sharita goes to the grocery store, which I'm telling you, it was an active scene every time we went to the grocery store. You understand me?
Yeah.
It was prayer and intercession.
I know that's right.
Sharita goes to the grocery store, and I'm just going to follow that, all right? She goes to the grocery store, and it was so funny. Talk about trusting God. My God. Hallelujah. She goes to the grocery store, and she's shopping. She gets the kids, because not only do we have to eat dinner, but before the situation, my children, we had to pay for lunch. So they have to have lunch. We have to eat. We have to have gas in the car. All these things, that is life, right? Okay. So she goes to the grocery store. She buys the groceries. I told you we had $25. That's all we had. $25. She goes, and I think the stuff cost about $19. She hears the Lord say, give the lady at the register the change. Now, see, the Lord knew to send her to the store that day. I'm just saying. Because I might would have missed that. Well, she goes, the Lord says to do that. She tells the lady to keep the change. Now, the lady asks a couple times, you sure? She said, yeah, keep the change. And the lady said, thank you, Jesus. Because she needed gas money that day to get her home.
Come on.
And back tomorrow
Come on.
To get her check.
Come on.
I learned how to give God recognition and praise in the middle of my struggle. And that if I do like my grandmother said, hold on to his unchanging hand, he will manifest his power and his glory.
Come on.
But we don't even have to talk about the world, but we in the church, we have forgotten. Listen, and even if you have much means and wealth, because see, again, we get this thing twisted for the ones that see struggle, and then we judge others because, well, they don't know nothing about struggle. Even in their lives, God requires more. He says, what? We go from faith to faith, from glory to glory. So we'll never stop elevating and reaching new heights. But there are a few things that keep us bound in the same place. Because, listen, I know people with a lot of money that struggles in the area of faith. So my point is, it's not about money. Amen. She's preaching. So today we're talking about stepping outside of our comfort zone, following God and obeying God and trusting God. I want to show you something, because in Luke chapter 5, verse 4 through 5, we find Peter at the Sea of Galilee, and give me a second. Here Jesus comes to Peter. He tells Peter key words. Thrust out, I'm reading the King James, into the deep. What did I say, Luke? Yeah, Luke 5. I know all my books is about. Today I'm having a hard time getting to the books. You see, on that part of the test I made. So I know my book's about. So here we find Peter. I'm going to read it. Chapter 5, verses 4 through 5. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and in layman terms for my brothers and my sisters that's with me today. We toiled all night long and have nothing. Did you hear that? And have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. So here is, let me show you something here. Now, Jesus in this time is referred to as who? The carpenter's son. Mm-hmm. Now, Peter is what? A fisherman.
Right.
So there's a bit of a situation here. You have the carpenter's son telling the fisherman, who, by the way, his father, Simon's father was a fisherman. His brother Andrew is a fisherman. So we can pretty much say that they are an expert at what? Fishing. So here, I can imagine, because see, most of us get like this when Jesus says something. The Holy Ghost, God. Like he don't know what he's talking about. See, we, Lord, say, go down there and I want you to put your feet in Lake Conroe. First of all, he lost about 60% of the room. Now, I ain't going to lie to you. I have to pray because I don't believe in sticking my water, my feet in nothing I can't see.
I'm right.
But see, we too smart for our own good. Some of us think we know it all. Oh, I know, Jesus, I know just how he wanted to be this morning. I know because I used to be one of them. God, have a blessing. By the way, such a funny situation. Shrek and I were in prayer one day, and God began to speak to us back in November. And God gives us his word. He says, in 25 days, you're going to see your first manifestation. And I'm telling you, it's probably one of the days you heard me yelling in the room. Come on, I thought, ooh, breakthrough. Oh, here it comes. Oh, I'm proud. We prayed and we shouted. You know, because why? Where did my mind go to first?
Mm-hmm.
Money. Mm-hmm. Ooh, 25. I'm counting down. Every day. Oh, sweet. We day 19. Oh, baby, we day 15. You know, we're going down. We're counting the days down. I'm telling you, that the one word that I held on to. He spoke many. Well, I held on to that. So the 25th day comes, and we're doing what we normally do, just like, you know, going by the way, never thought about anything. And anyway, the Lord revealed something to my wife as she was talking to me on the phone. So as we got together, we talked about it later on, the Lord began to show us that was the first. That was the 25th day. But what we had put our focus in was not even what close to what he was talking about. So here we have the carpenter son telling the fisherman to go out into the deep. Now, research shows, because at this moment, Peter said we've been out, Simon said we've been out all day, and we called up, been out all night. Now, in the Sea of Galilee, it's history shows that fishermen did not fish in the daytime. They fished at night. Because what did he tell them? Go out into what? Another translation says thrust out into the deep. Go out into the deep. So, one fisherman in the Sea of Galilee fished at night, not daytime. Here, it's daytime. They don't fish in the deep. They fish in the shallow waters. Jesus is telling Simon to go out into the deep. So at this moment, what Jesus is telling Simon to do is completely different than the way he was taught. In the normal operation or processes of his operation. So Peter had to make a choice. But I don't want to focus on the choice. I want us to focus on him having to go outside of the normal in order for the miracle that took place down farther into the scripture. I want to show you something. Because last time I had the opportunity to share with you guys about perspective and perception. And we know that perspective is a point of view, and we learned that perception is our, in taught or learned. It's actually, it's the actual behavior. It's our way of responding. But I wanted to show you something that I thought was amazing. Now, remember I shared with you guys about how things are stored in the memory. So I'm just going to give you my notes here, okay, for sake of time. All of our habits of thinking and acting are stored in our subconscious mind. Now, our subconscious mind is the part of our minds that we are, things that we're not aware of, okay? So all of our habits of thinking and acting are stored in our subconscious mind. Check this out. It has memorized all of our comfort zones. Did you hear that? Remember, our subconscious mind is the part of our minds that things are going on that we're not even aware of. And study shows here that it has memorized all of our comfort zones, and it works to keep us in them. Your subconscious mind also practices, I think I said that right, H-O-M-E-O-S-T-A-S-I-S. Did I say that right? Which pretty much means equilibrium, balance. So our subconscious mind also practices balance in our mental realm. By keeping you thinking, check this out, by keeping you thinking and acting in a manner that's consistent with what you have done and said in the past.
Come on, come on, come on.
Your subconscious mind causes you to fear, no, sorry, to feel emotionally and physically uncomfortable whenever you attempt to do anything new or different.
Come on. Come
on. Or change any of your established patterns or behavior. You can feel your subconscious mind pulling you back toward your comfort zone. Each time you try to do something different from what you are accustomed to, and that is created to make you feel tensed or uneasy. What's happening right now? God is showing us what we're up against.
Come on. Come on.
He's given us information. He's downloading knowledge, which gives us what?
Wisdom.
See, last week, Pastor Mill was talking to us about how we have the battle, or the art of war, we may say, backwards. On how we think or believe that the battles that we come up against, we have to fight. But he showed us in Scripture to where the battle, truly, we say it all the time, the battle is not ours. But what? It is the Lord's. But yet, when I'm facing things, I pull out what? I'm not talking about physical people. But immediately we take this thing. What? But really God is saying.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
So this last 6 months, Sharif and I decided, and you know what? We're going to do this differently.
Yeah.
We're going to do it differently than we've ever done before. This time, we're really going to take a stand. And this is what we said. Some of you may not say this. We do. Either God is true, or this is a lie. Now, that took a bold I want to go get a job. God knows I want to go get a job. Yes, I do. Matter of fact, this past Sunday on the show, we had a discussion with Montre and Marquise. And we were talking about, you know, a man's responsibility and things that, not to make a man, but, you know, just the way we were wired. We were not talking about yesterday, the way we were created. But in the middle of this, I had to lay down what makes sense in the natural realm. See, the world tells us the man has to be this, the man's got to be this way, the man's got to be that. So if I would have taken the perspective, the perception of the world's point of view, which that system, by the way, is dead. In the spiritual realm, thinking like the world thinks is dead. You can't comprehend faith in the natural reason. It makes no sense.
Right.
It will never make sense. I'll say it again. Anything that we try and to look in the natural and with a faith mindset, it will not. It would always. It would always. Never makes sense. It would never make sense. So for the sake of time, I'm going to wrap it up. It's a little bit more to share, but I'm going to wrap it up. Wants us, our church, us as members, to gender. And in order to embrace anything new in our lives, we have to stop doing this.
Come on. Bye.
We have to quit looking back. The Bible gives scripture. This is the NCI. This is the New Century Version. Did I say that right? Luke 9:62. Jesus said, anyone who begins to plow a field but keeps looking back is of no use to the kingdom. God of heaven. Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Anyone that's plowing the field, meaning this is going, working in that direction. Paul said, what? I press towards the mark of the high calling. But as long as we keep looking back, let me ask you this. Why do you keep looking back? If we take a survey, I promise you 100% of this room, really truly, have no desire to go back. You may not be exactly where you want to be, but you have no desire to go back. So why are we looking back? So I put before you another question. How much of the past are you willing to let go? How much of it? How much of it are you willing to let go to get to your future? Complacency. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
It's the enemy of creativity, productivity, and our future. that much of an ass in the world, nigga. Are you willing to jump and not look back? Dr. Martin Luther King said something. Boy, when I read this, ooh, you're talking about shit. Lord, it was another one of those days you heard me screaming on stage. Sharita and I had breakout moments. I'm telling you, you got to look at me say this stuff. But prayer and worship is a there's many times that I want to give up. That I want to try. I found so many reasons to qualify me not to move forward. The enemy went into overtime to show me just how bald I was. But I'm telling you, in the middle of this thing, Shrink and I decided someday we just get up. We just start yelling. We just start worshiping. We start praising. And let me tell you something, we still had $5 in our bucket.
Yeah.
Some days we had zero. I had to borrow money sometimes. But even in that, I followed God. I would pray, and God would show me a face. And I'm telling you, I'll make a call, and my favorite was there. And I don't know how we did, but we was always able to pay him back. When I said we were going to pay him back. How much of the past are you willing to let go? To embrace what God is doing new, afresh. From the youngest to the oldest, there's things that God is saying to do. We'll never get too old to build and do things for God. And we're never too young to build and experience and do things for God. This time I decided that I wasn't going to shelter my children. So we always try to protect them, you know. Don't want them to really see the struggles. Now, we shield and protect them in the way that God told us. But we brought them in to stand in faith with us.
Yeah.
To believe God. Listen, because God showed me something. He said, David, and I'm done. He said, take your children everywhere I tell you to take them. Move them when I tell you to move them. And do with them what I tell you to do. Because God showed me something. Talk to the mothers. Especially single mothers.
Yeah.
Sometimes we get caught up in life. We take him to church, but we don't teach him church.
Mm-hmm.
At 5 and 6 and 3 and 4, we can teach our children how to have faith.
Yeah.
So when they get 30 and 40 and 50 and 60,
right,
they're not struggling. But do I want to serve God or do I not? Now, I know what the word says. Train them up in the way they should go so when they get older, they won't depart. That is true. But teach those babies some faith. Teach them how to rely and trust on God right now. I'm telling you, if anybody can get a prayer through, it's those children.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So even I choke, but I'm telling you, we got some, those two them girls of ours, I'm telling you, we got some prophets on our hands. How much of the past are you willing to let go? move forward, being holding on to unforgiveness, concerned about what somebody else thinks. God told me one time, he said, David, stop. Stop, and this is what it's worth. Stop watering down what I'm doing for you for the comfortabilities of others. The very thing, this is what God said. He said, David, the very thing that you're hiding is the very thing that I need my people to see. Put me in this place last year, I couldn't have gone. Because I was still allowing fear and anxiety. I was allowing my circumstances and my situation to tell me who I was, who I can be, and what I can't be. Bill Gates said, it's okay to be born in poverty, but it's not okay to die in it. Dr. Martin Luther King said these words. If you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But by all means, keep moving. You may have to crawl, but keep moving. You may want to give up. Even in your mind, you may say, now God wants to do it. Now we're building, now we're doing all this. Why we couldn't do this 14, 15? Because it wasn't the time.
Amen.
And let me tell you something about time. Faith dictates time.
David, God gives. We do. We live in a house together. God sent them. He wasn't sending them just for them. He was sending them for you. And when he was just saying that, the Lord said, I'll build the ecosystem around you. The Lord asked you a question, what's around you? What's around you? When David was quoted that by Martin Luther King, my youngest daughter was sitting on the back row. She was quoting it as he was quoting it because she knows that passage by Martin Luther King. When I was growing up, my mother, she had books and had recipes of poetry. And when we would go through these places in school, she already knew Hemingway, but they knew the Word of God. Tasha and Caitlin have become part of our group, and so I just kind of belong to them. And again, it wasn't just for them, it was for me and Caitlin. And that's what would remind me, it's like in that house, there's so much faith that's being released. Caitlin would say, Yara, I see my businesses, I see it. I already see you trying. Already see you. We may leave that house. We believe in God for children to be able to go to Olympics and soccer and be on the national league. She can actually acquire that by the age of 15. You can hear the girls all talking back and forth to each other by faith. They're standing in faith for Caitlin, they're standing in faith for Chaplin, they're standing in faith for Bree, they're standing in faith for Kaya. They're speaking those things that, I'm not kidding. And the reason why they're able to say those things is because they heard us say our impossible dreams. They've watched us step up to the plate over and over and over again and believe God for the impossible. And even though there have been times we turn and walk away and we've not possessed it yet, then watch us turn right back around and step back up to the plate again. all my shouting up in that house and stuff. They didn't know they came to the house with me years ago with me and Joe. And we learned how to praise God and shout in the midst of adversity. And he was talking about them shouting, and then I'll be shouting downstairs by faith, believing God to shift and to do. When you learn and you build an ecosystem around you, and that's why we're talking about faith, and that's why you're here, is because literally God is building an ecosystem of faith that will surround you in impossible places to do eyes have not seen, ears have never heard type miracles. God is working you out in new places in this season, shifting families. I was praying for you this week because I know it's God move what's happening in your family. And I've never met the other half of you. I know it's God. I know it's God thing that God is moving and shifting in your life. Linda, yes, step out. Make your videos. Step out. Write more books. Step out. Why? Because there's another group that's right behind you that needs to know, yes, we can do this. Other than Pastor Regina saying, yes, we can. Because they almost think I'm crazy now. So when you don't want to tell them, Ashley, that you're graduating and you're kidding, you're a social story. You don't understand the labors. Baby, let me tell you something. It might sound godly or prideful, but oh, Jesus. When you come through the doors of liberation, finding a breakthrough, you don't even know what happened years before you were here. But get them bushes there. So when you're like patting yourself behind sugar, baby, you actually patting yourself behind me and this woman and every other godly woman that stood before you even showed up in this place so that she could stand and be an example. God. It's the anointing of God that rests in this place to break through. But the opposition has been great. Robo, see, am I right about it, kid? It's been great, right, Mom? Robo, so far, so the Lord is saying, David, they need to know that you're living up in the house. And glory to God. I don't even have to fight the battle and preach it from the platform. What's going on in 951 is my business. And you stay smooth up out of it. But in actuality, it ain't my business. It's God's business. God is stepping the call of breakthrough. Somebody needs to shout breakthrough.
Yeah.
by, you know, it's a whole bunch of crazy going on in your life. Say, when man sees my life, on the other side of it, they don't know it wasn't nobody.
Nobody.
Whoa. But Jesus.
Good.
He has to do it. Look at your neighbor. Watch him do it. Watch him do it. Watch him do it. What my mother didn't bring me, I watch him do it. My daddy didn't bring me, I watch him do it. Ah, Jesus, Jesus. If it had not been for the Lord, oh my God, where would I? They pulled up yesterday to celebrate my mother's, and it wasn't because of me. The radio station nominated my mother as Mother of the Year because of her times on the air and the things that she spoke, and they remembered scripturally the stuff that she said. So they just jumped right off the conversation and said, we're going to just pick her anyway. This one has nothing to do with you, but she's trying to be one of the year. So we had a car, you know, and it was taking us. We kind of got off, and Tasha and Riley ended up having to drive up there. They came in my car, and you know what I say? I remember when I was young, I said, well, I don't have no car with stuff hanging out underneath the bottom of. They pull up to the front, and I just started laughing. I said, they said, Mama said, you need to get you a new car. I said, I am. I'm going to get me one. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So your brother Joe got one. Hallelujah. Lord, it's definitely time for you to get one.
Amen.
Can I have with you? He said, yeah. You know, where you going, Pastor? Because God is shifting some things. Don't be afraid of what you speak. He's a miracle working man.
Yes.
He wants to put his hand on your life and open up to you.
Yes.
He wants to put his hand on your life and set you free from everything. He don't want you to be ashamed, actually, of the process, because your process is my proclamation of faith.
Amen.
Do you understand that? And every step that you take, hallelujah, Lord God, it's for the goodness of the Lord. Right, brother? Only if they could have seen the backstory. It's your backstory that counts. So right where you are, just go ahead and stand on your feet and give God the glory right now.